From Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, hear now the word of the Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On a given Saturday night, someone wonders who they're going to go home with after a night at the club. And then on Sunday morning, the same person contemplates the majesty and the holiness of the God of heaven. On a job site, someone expresses with great creativity their curse words they know. And then on Sunday morning, stands up and sings praises to the name of Jesus. On the internet, someone secretly lives a life of perversion or has an illicit affair and then gets up the next morning to read their Bible and pray that God would answer their list of demands. Many people live a double life, follow different allegiances, have different priorities and commitments when they're around different people or certain people. Probably all of us are a bit of a contradiction, if we're honest. The ideal that Christians strive for, though, is to become followers of Jesus and not these double agents of two kingdoms that are so diametrically opposed from one another. But it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. Our scripture reading today from Paul's letter to the, the believers in Rome wrestles with some questions. Is grace alone enough? After Paul has been talking about that through the letter to the Romans, about faith, salvation by faith through grace alone. But is grace alone enough? Should our faith make a real difference in how we live? Or is it just important that we believe in something? What does our identity in Christ really mean? And what does it mean to be united in Christ's death and resurrection? Did his death and resurrection do anything for us, or are we followers merely because we grew up in a Christian family or live in a majority Christian culture or subculture? The word of the Apostles' Creed, suffered. And we talked about Christ being our atoning sacrifice or our propitiation, a big word that's easier to understand than some of our fancy coffee orders, actually. The creed also says that Jesus died and was buried, and our catechism today is helping us understand the significance of Christ's death and burial. And there's much that we could look at today, but I want to focus on question and answer 43 as we think about the advantages we have, the benefits we receive because of the sacrifice and death of our Savior. We will see how Christ's death and burial relates to our spiritual condition today, too. So first, we'll look at the first part of the Romans passage we read today, being united with Christ's death and resurrection. And then the second part, the results that come from being united with Christ. First, united in Christ's death and resurrection, as we look at the first five verses of our reading today in Romans chapter 6, you know, when we and our young people make a public profession of faith, we're asked to stand and answer some questions. And one of the questions goes like this: do you accept the gracious promises of God sealed to you in your baptism? So there are promises that are spoken over us in baptism. Do you accept those? And do you affirm your union with Christ and his church, which your baptism signifies? Do you affirm your union with Christ and his church, which your baptism signifies? Well, I've had questions before, like, what is union? What is this union thing? And I have to admit that I, and probably many of us parents, don't really talk about union with Christ or being united with Christ and what that means or why it matters. But that's one of the questions in our public profession of faith vows that we take. Our identity as believers in Jesus is intimately related to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our identity is found in being united with him. The background of our reading today has the people in Rome enjoying their salvation by faith alone, maybe too much, if that's possible. Some people thought that they could live however they wanted to. If salvation is by faith and not by works or anything that we do, then why does it matter how I live? I'm going to be saved anyway. They may have thought, well, if faith is all that matters, I can go on to live however I want to without there being a problem. But the Apostle Paul is appalled at that. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means, he declares. By no means. Sin is not the part of the Christian's makeup or identity anymore. Being united with Christ changes or should change our orientation toward sin. In Christ, we are freed from the penalty and the power of sin. We're freed from the penalty and the power of sin. If you believe in Jesus, you have been justified, the Bible says. You have been declared innocent of all charges against you because Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ did for you as your substitute on the cross, he was our sacrifice of atonement. He was your propitiation. By faith, you accept this and you are free from the penalty of sin. Christ paid that penalty and made that atonement for you. Our catechism has already explained all this, and that's why it says, what further advantage do we have from Christ's sacrifice and death? So first, we're set free from the penalty of sin, but also, secondly, we're set free from the power of sin in our lives. The further advantage we have, besides being set free from the guilt and the penalty of rebelling against God's ways, is this: we are free from the power and domination of sin in our lives today. Today, right now, we can be free from that power and that control that sin might have over us. We don't have to listen to it. We don't have to obey that sinful nature. This is the transformed life that we can have right now if we truly believe and live according to who we are, our new identity in Christ. That is, live out of our union with Christ. All sin in the Christian life, I think, is often a matter of forgetting or purposely ignoring who we are. After the fall in Genesis, the power of sin continued to affect the human race. It is in Christ who sets us free from the power and the control of sin. Once we were held captive to it and we were held in slavery to sin's evil desires when we were merely part of Adam's race. But Christ is the double cure, as that great hymn would say, Rock of Ages. He frees us from the penalty and the power of sin. Be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Christ is the double cure. But our identity is marked by our baptism too. We're baptized, it says, into Christ. We're baptized into Jesus Christ. In verses 2 and 3, it says, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? How can you make that sin part of your thinking all the time? Your attitude and your behaviors, how can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death? So Paul argues when someone is baptized, he or she participates in the death of Christ. Somehow we were crucified with Christ. Sin and the power of sin to control our lives has died. We no longer have to obey that master. United in Christ, we've been baptized into Christ. We are no longer slaves to sin. Praise be to God for that. We're no longer slaves to sin. So Christ became identified, as we learned last week, with a sinful and guilty state of humanity by becoming sin, by becoming a curse for us, by being condemned by the civil judge, Pontius Pilate. When he died on the cross, our sinfulness died with him. Baptism, according to this passage, is showing how we are identified with Christ. As baptism, you're going under the water. You're drowning something. Something is dying under the water. Baptism represents our dying with Christ. In water baptism, whether you're talking about an adult or an infant, we begin that relationship with Jesus in community with a Christian family and with the church family. We identify with his death, the promise that Christ has broken the power of sin. Verse 4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We died with Christ in his death, and we were raised with Christ at his resurrection. That is, being united with Christ, we are raised to new life, a life of freedom, a life of living to please and glorify God. Being baptized into Christ means that we are completely united with him. And Jesus identified with sinful humanity that we might be identified with him in his righteousness. Sin in the life of the Christian, therefore, should be rather strange, out of place, weird, unnatural. Why? Because it's not who we are. If you are a Christ follower, if you follow Jesus, it's not who we are anymore. Our identity is in Christ, in union with him, being united with him. And if we're united with Christ, sin should feel really weird and bad and strange. No longer in sin, but in Christ. So that's the first part of our reading in Romans there, and we're going to look at the second part too here, beginning with verse 6 and going to verse 10. The results of being united with Christ. The results of being united with Christ. Paul says in verses 6 and 7, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, verse 7, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Our catechism picks up on these verses too when it says in question and answer 42 that our death puts an end to our sinning completely. And then we enter into eternal life. See, Bible scholar and former president of Fuller Theological Seminary, Dr. Douglas Moo, has argued that the old self in this passage is not referring to some part of our current nature that continues to reside in us somewhere, as many have thought. Moo argues that Paul is thinking corporately or relationally here, or to something that existed before we came to Christ. Paul was referring to the old sinful state or identity that we had in Adam before Christ. The old self, the old believer, is gone, dead, done away with forever now. Dying with Christ means that the old self was compelled to obey the sinful thoughts and desires has been crucified, has been eliminated. The old self has died, has been buried. And one result we have, one advantage that we have in Christ's death is that we no longer have to obey that master anymore. We no longer have to obey the sinful nature anymore. Again, this makes sin so strange and out of place for the believer. It's not that it's not who we are anymore. We are dead to sin. So may our lives reflect the freedom that we have from sin's control, and may our lives reflect our new status and not the old self that was merely in Adam. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him, Paul says in verse 8. Death no longer has mastery, and so we are also identified with the resurrection of Christ. We too have been raised to a new life of victory over sin and death because we are unified. We have become one with Christ in his death, but also in his resurrection. Paul says elsewhere, to me to live right now, to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. That's someone who has a clear sense of identity, of who he is. It's clarity of mission and purpose in life. I'm not here to live for myself anymore. I'm not here to live and obey the sinful nature anymore. But for me to live is to live for Christ, to live for his glory. So there's freedom as a result of being united with Christ, free from that power, free from the control. And finally this morning, putting our new status to work, putting our identity in Christ to work. Sometimes we forget, or we just do not believe, that we are a new creation in Christ. We forget, or we do not believe, that we have been baptized into Christ. We forget, or we simply do not believe, that we live and move and have our being in Christ. For us to live is Christ. United with Christ, that's who we are at the core. United with him. If the old self has been crucified, why then do we still continue to sin or to continue to allow sin to have such a powerful place in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts? For some, freedom is just too much to handle, and we're used to obeying that old master. I think of the time immediately following the Civil War when many African Americans were declared free after the war, and it took many of them a long time to live into that freedom, to understand what it meant to be free, as well as it took a long time for our laws to catch up too. It took time to discover what it means to be free. And I think Paul is telling us to remind ourselves of that too, especially if you're a newer Christian, if you've come to Christ maybe later on in life. Verse 11, he says, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Count yourselves, consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Consider sin in yourself dead. In other words, it has no longer has power over you anymore. And then he says, do not allow sin to reign in your bodies so that you obey its sinful desires. In many ways, freedom is not just automatic. You have to work at being free. You certainly have to believe it about yourself, that you are free in Christ. Then count yourselves, consider yourselves alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's who we are in Christ, alive to God. You have risen out of the baptismal waters to new life. Brothers and sisters, this morning, remember your baptism. Remember what it means. Paul leaves us with a promise in verse 14 when he says, for sin shall no longer be your master because you are no longer under law but under grace. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that. We have to remind ourselves of that. Sin is no longer my master. The follower of Christ has been fundamentally changed. And I like the way Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones makes a comparison. He says there is a field where we're all born, and in this field is Satan's domain, and sin rules in this field. There's also another field with a huge wall that separates the two. No one can cross the fields on their own. And the second field is controlled by Christ, and righteousness rules in that field. God reaches down and pulls people from Satan's field and places them in Christ's field. In this way, the believer is transferred from one kingdom to another, from one culture to another, from slavery and death to freedom and life. Yet once in Christ's field, sometimes the believer still hears Satan calling over that wall, come back. Do what I want you to do. Do what I say. But the believer doesn't have to listen to that anymore. Certainly doesn't have to obey that anymore. He or she is under new management now as Christ is Lord. Overcoming sin then means further, moving further and further away from that wall and closer to Christ. Where those voices from the other side become more faint, less powerful. You see, as a believer in Christ, you and I are not becoming or in the process of becoming a new creation. You are a new creation in Christ. You are united with Christ. You're not in the process of dying to the sinful nature and the dominance of sin, the control of sin in your life. You are dead to sin right now. You're not working toward a new life and earning points every day. You are alive with Christ right now. Believe it, live it, and share that good news boldly with others. May it be so this morning. Would you pray with me? God of justice and mercy, we approach your throne only through the blood of Jesus today. But we do approach boldly because Christ died for us and for his church. We thank you for your great love for us as demonstrated through the suffering and death of Christ on our behalf. This week, O Lord, help us to number our days aright. Remind us of eternal things, and may we have a good and proper perspective on life and our own priorities in this life as we believe and live as those who are united with Christ Jesus. Remind us of that every day, Lord, that we're dead to sin and we're resurrected to new life in him. Through it all, may you receive all the glory, honor, and praise. Amen.